when you were doing your streaming.
Yeah, I loved streaming.
We're back. So, just to quickly explain to folks what happened. Been anticipating my entry into the podcast market for about 2 years. I had the idea like 2 years ago. I did that for a while, right? I've been talking about it and sort of, you know, it's tough to put yourself out there. This is not easy. I kind of had a little bit of an anxiety attack before you two came over because, you know, anything truly rewarding, I think, is a little bit difficult. So, and Haley, who is, has seen me at my best and what I hope is my worst, it pushed me to do it. And so we did it. And part of that was getting a laptop that could handle the audio and the video inputs at the same time without the lag. And what do? When I spill wine on it the first night that I try to take it out? Yeah, no, I was just trying to relax a little bit with Matt Betzold on the first podcast. I spilled wine all over it, and actually the folks over at Core Care.
Oh, so you're feeding him alcohol and not us?
I see how it is. Would you like some wine?
You do not have to ask me those questions, podcast. We're fine. We won't interrupt the podcast anymore.
Okay. It was also an evening type of deal with Matt, and I'm not sure that I'll normally drink on this thing, but I was really nervous the first time. And in my nerves, I was kind of doing one of this, and I spilled wine over the keyboard. And I don't think I did a good job of cleaning, because I was like, well, let me wipe it all over the keyboard instead of... So the folks over at Core Care on Harvard Street or Harvard Avenue by the Arden Fair Mall brought it back for a $400 cleaning fee, which is much less than the $1,400 that Apple would charge you. However, it looks like they have some work to do on the charging mechanism here. Otherwise, the laptop works perfectly, and they brought it back. I'm not sponsored by them. I'm not sponsored by anybody. I'm funded by me. But if you're having issues with your Mac, Core Care is the place to go. I'm confident they'll be able to fix this issue. So when the MacBook died, we were just switching over to the feed on the iPhone, which is, I mean, maybe I should just be doing this from an iPhone. It's a lot easier, but I think after we figure out the audio issues, we're going to get a better, more professional product once we're able to kind of put it all together. You've done some streaming of your own.
Yeah, I have. I alongside doing jiu-jitsu, one of my other favorite hobbies is doing wargaming. So I love the game.
Can you explain that? I actually have no idea what that is.
She's explained it to me at least half a dozen times. I still don't understand it, so good luck.
The game I play is Warhammer. Okay, do you guys know the game Risk?
Nope.
Risk?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Okay, you do. That's good. That's good.
Never play it.
Joy, you're a country town girl. It's okay.
Sorry.
Well, it's like Risk and Dungeons and Dragons. So Risk, I say it's like Risk because you have like two forces, two people are battling it out, and you have objectives and you have an army. And then I like to say it's like D&D because you have stats and you have like
attributes
and special abilities for certain units. So it's like those two came together and made a baby, and then you get Warhammer 40K, and it's a war game. So it's strategic. It's a strategic war game. You both have an army, and you both set points against each other, and you battle it out, trying to win via D6s. So your method of how you do things is by D6s. So you roll dice and figure it out.
Okay. Okay. What's the
How does the streaming come into this?
Yeah.
Painting. So it's beyond just playing the game. It's a pretty involved game. You assemble the miniatures and you paint them. And I had a streaming. I streamed how to paint them, and I would just go through what my tournament armies are going as and how to paint.
Okay, cool. And so you'd have like the little, we're talking about this, the camera that we're using. You'd have the camera kind of like on your, on your figurine or whatever, your orc or your wizard, your whatever.
Yeah, space marine, orc, any of that. I'd have one camera focused down on my miniatures so that people can watch what I'm doing, so they want more of like the technical side of like, oh, how did you paint that, or how are you sculpting that? They can see that. And then I had one towards my face, so that people who, because there's streaming, you know, there's different aspects for people who watch streams, whether they want to watch the content of what you're doing, whether you're informing, or if they want to watch, like, hear you, like, just like basically talk to them and listen, and more of like the listening aspect.
Okay. Were you doing that on Twitch?
Yeah, I was doing it on Twitch.
Do you want to give yourself a little shout? Are you going to start back up, or?
So I'm not going to
start. You're a busy gal. Just so everyone, she's planning a wedding. She's getting back into jiu-jitsu. She's saving. She's saving orange juice.
I'm going to start hopefully back up after the wedding. So
okay.
Towards the end of this year, I'd like to start back up doing at least once a week.
Okay.
And if you guys wanted to give a follow for it, it would be Miss Demonette on Twitch.
Okay.
So
you're a black belt in Hapkido.
Yes.
So yeah. Presumably you already know how to defend yourself.
Yeah, they say that.
I mean, if you want to comment on Hapkido's relative effectiveness, that's.
So Hapkido is great. I really do think that it's a great martial art for. If you want to learn defense, self-defense, it's a good one to pick up certain aspects. It's very well-rounded. It's throws, kicks, and bread and butter's wrist techniques. So I was saying you can grab me from anywhere, and I should be able to defend myself.
Okay.
That's how Liz starts conversations with people. She just walks up. She's like, grab me anywhere. Just anywhere.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Guys, don't actually grab her.
Don't
That's
do that.
Bullshit.
No joke. So I can tell you guys because you guys know who he was. I was going out with one of the people, like a big group from the gym, and one of the people we were all walking together, and he just goes up and grabs my butt, and I immediately put him into shoulder lock. Like I just went head over heels, and I didn't know. I'm sure would have just dumped him straight on his head, but unfortunately, I did know who he was. And, yeah.
Last time he did that.
So, yeah, exactly.
Last time he made that mistake.
No, unfortunately, I don't think that's the last time. He would be a repeat offender, I think.
Those particular issues do seem to be like crime in general. You know, if you have like 100 robberies, it's not 100 people, you know, robbing people. It's like 2 people that both did 50, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they can get away with it.
There's some definite repeat offenders out there. You're a black belt in Hapkido, you're a purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If you'll allow me, and we can just skip the question if you want, but, you know, you and your fiancé get into an issue, right? Like,
beaten down.
are you going to strangle? Like, how reasonably confident are you that you can defend yourself against like a full blown attack from a man at this point in your martial arts? I would imagine you've got to be pretty confident, right? Like, you've got to be pretty sure that you're going to win an exchange.
I would definitely feel like I would do damage to them. And the thing I worry about the most is if something like that ever happened, how much damage they do is what I'm really scared about.
Right.
Because when I compete, I do things that I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, it's just muscle memory. And I've been practicing Hapkido for about getting into my 8th year, and it's, the techniques are finishers. So you practice to break and dismember somebody, basically.
Wow.
And so I get worried, like, I would never want to see what happens.
Okay.
So
okay.
My awareness is where I'm at. Like, if I'd rather de-escalate a situation so I never have to find out.
Right. Do you feel that there's that your dedication to martial arts has sort of helped you walk a little bit more confidently to your car alone at night as a woman? Is that an issue?
Absolutely. It's definitely helped me. I feel very much like I have confidence in that martial arts. I did Hapkido for 4 years before I started jiu-jitsu, and I would definitely say that adding jiu-jitsu has made me more confident. I felt okay with just Hapkido, but adding in jiu-jitsu is completely another level of confidence.
Yeah. So I think, and I gotta be honest, I don't really know what I'm talking about on this particular subject. I don't walk anywhere in fear of intrusion into my body, right? Like of being assaulted for being a woman. I think, you know, most men have the privilege of not walking in the fear that is all too real and all too pervasive for women generally. And that kind of really crystallized for me a few years ago when I think it was my sister or someone else called me kind of later at night. And they're like, hey, you know, I'm just walking to my car. You just stay on the phone with me. And I'm like, sure. What do you want to talk about? It's like, no, you know, I'm just walking to my car. Just stay on the phone with me so we can know that nothing happens on the way to my car. I was like, why would anything happen? And she's like, you don't understand, Gibran. I live in fear. You know, she didn't say it quite like that, but it kind of like after we had a little conversation and kind of crystallized, and was like, oh, this is like a thing that she sort of deals with consistently, this sort of fear of walking to her car. And I was sort of interested in getting a perspective from you too, if that's something that has sort of been like kind of tamped down as you've become better martial artists, maybe not present in you generally.
I still ask someone to walk me to my car in Sacramento. Like, if we're out at the bars or something, I don't want to walk, you know, four blocks by myself in the dark at 2 a.m. There's no way. And the thing is, I feel like if a guy, no martial arts training, comes up to me and grabs me and tries to wrestle me on the ground, he's going to be asleep in about 2 minutes. Like, he's going to be asleep. Like, I'm really confident of that. But at the same time, like, I don't want to find out. I don't. There's no point in that. If I want to test my skills, there's a time and place to do that. It's called the gym or competition. I don't want to be assaulted in the street, and I'll do everything to avoid ever being in that situation. Yeah. So I still, you know, I'm just aware that I'm a target, and or at least I look like one. I'm not really. I don't feel like a target, but anyway. But no, I'll still, if we're all out together at the bars, I'm not walking to my car by myself at the end of the night. I ask someone to go with me.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the best way what's the best way to avoid a fight or to get in a fight by not getting into one?
To begin with.
Yeah, to begin with. So yeah. I feel like martial art, again, like I'm a joy. If I'm walking down somewhere, I'd rather have somebody with me, even though I know everything.
Sure.
The best way is not to get into anything, that you have to use anything.
Yeah, yeah. No.
People don't play fair on the streets. Like, they could pull weapons on you. You don't know what they have. I agree, yeah. Absolutely. Like, yeah. No one's going to pull a knife on me in the gym and at competition.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's no intelligent defense to a knife. Mm-hmm. Or there's no good one that I would like to test myself out against. Or a gun or a weapon or anything like that. Yeah. I think as you learn more about martial arts, you realize how helpless you are in, like, a situation against a gun or a knife or something like that, and you also, like, one, you realize how helpless you are if you're presented with deadly force, right? And or that, not maybe not helpless, but that there's you have very little options very quickly.
Yeah.
And then two, you also realize the more that you do it, how quickly something can go wrong in a street fight, and so you kind of want to, like, seek it out less. You know, the more you know, the more you kind of realize that you don't know. You know, I remember like 3 or 4 years ago, I was out with a group of friends at the Waterfront Bar down in San Diego. Recommend that venue to anybody looking for just a casual drink in Little Italy. But we were with this group of friends. I knew one gal that I was with, you know, someone in the group of friends, you know, we're trying to get out of it. We're trying to get out of the establishment. It's a crowded bar. And someone in the, there was like a African American gentleman standing in front of the door, and this gal in our group just like shoves him out of the way, and he spills beer like all over his shirt, and he looks back at her like, what the heck? She's like, what are you gonna do about it, N-word? And so he just slapped her.
What?
He just slapped her, and then he just started like pretty much swinging at everybody in the whole group. And you know, he got to me, and I was like, dude, I don't know her. I'm actually friends with this other girl. This isn't my fight. This isn't my deal. You know, I don't want to fight you. We're good. The situation of, you know, got diffused, but before that, he did kind of take a swing at me, which I just sort of dodged. But he grazed me with his fingertips, like right here across my nose. And I woke up with a bloody nose like every day for the next 6 months. You know, he just kind of like jiggled my nose like this. And then he came to his senses, you know, that like I really wasn't gonna, really didn't want to fight him. But yeah, I mean, just a little graze of my nose, like this, and it was really kind of painful every day for 6 months as I would wake up with like a scab, like way up here in my nose, you know, and it's like, wow, that one little thing wound up hurting me so much more than I would have ever expected, you know. So I think it just goes to show that you know, there are no rules in the street, and you never know how quickly and how badly you can get injured if something were to go wrong, you know. So yeah, I agree with him with that mindset. I would never want to seek something out in the streets.
I think what people who don't do martial arts need to understand is that for us, it's a sport and it's an art and it's a passion, and we're passionate about perfecting our art form. We're not like, I'm the biggest, baddest cat on the block. I mean, there are those.
There is some of those.
No, it's not that. Those folks just like dying to tell you they're a black belt, or dying to tell you like, oh, I just got a 4-stripe on my whatever. Yeah.
Or the ones that always want to tell you all their street fight stories, like all 2 street fights they've ever been in, street fights, you know. But no, most of us, you know, combat artists, It really is an art, and we're looking to get better at that, and we're looking to train and test ourselves in competition and in the gym. But I'd say very few martial artists are walking around like, yeah, I just hope someone jumps me today. I just hope.
Well, sometimes, I mean, there's moments where those martial artists do that.
There's some.
That it's like most, like they hold like 90% of their life is like, this is my lifestyle, like let's be all calm, and then 10% just like I'm ready, go ahead punk, show me what you got.
So how did you find your way to jiu-jitsu, having reasonable confidence in your own ability to defend yourself, being a black belt in Hapkido? What made you seek out Ultimate Fitness, jiu-jitsu? You know, why not strike? Why not like boxing or kickboxing? Like, how'd you kind of find your way into jits?
Well, Hapkido is really well rounded, and I would always like go up to the guys and try to take them down. And I always found myself really enjoying going to the ground. And we would in Hapkido, a lot of it is we do some ground, but we after it goes to the ground for a little bit. My Master Bob's like, all right, guys, stand back up. And so he would really limit us on what groundwork we'd do. Okay. And I asked around, and it was either judo, like specifically learning how to do throws, or jiu-jitsu. And I went and found a gym, tried out the 3 days, and I was like, this is for me. And then I just went crazy.
Yeah, you did go a little crazy, didn't you? You were doing, what did you say, like 10 times a week?
Yeah.
And then you took like a year off.
Yeah.
I've always been more of like an easy as she goes, daddy does it, but you know, don't take long breaks type of guy. I've been at it for I think 7 years now without any real like long-term breaks. I had vertigo, and I did have to take a few months off following vertigo. But I feel like I've been able to avoid peaks and valleys precisely because I didn't push myself the way that you did. Do you feel like there was some burnout factor there? I would see you in the gym sometimes. You'd be like cutting weight for a competition, like kind of gaunt, kind of pale, kind of pissed. You know.
Needed a Snickers, yeah. Let's be honest.
You're like Joe Pesci in the Snickers commercial, you know, just kind of cranky. It was your second practice of the day. I felt, to be honest, I felt like I could kind of see you falling out of love with it. You know, right before you took that break.
I was pushing myself pretty hard. I definitely think there's a point of overtraining. Like, I'm a perfectionist in what I love to do. And there is a point of overtraining things. Like, you just, if you did it as much as I was doing, your body, I was young, and I'm still young, but
it's only been a year. You're still young.
Well, sometimes you feel old. In the knees. It's just overtraining, and there was a point of like where it gets frustrating. You feel like you're not really moving. You are always progressing. It's just a mind state. And my mind sometimes is just going into me that, like, I'm just not there yet. I'm always reaching for something further. And I think it's both a blessing and a curse. A blessing because it means that I'm always going to continue to progress and continue to strive for more. Mm-hmm. I want more. Even a, like, I got my black belt in one. I'm ready to continue on and get my black belt in this, and then I'll probably continue doing this because the sport, even if you're a black belt, you're still learning.
Yeah, that's supposedly that's when it sort of starts again, right?
Like yeah.
Your journey. You did have to take some time off for an injury.
Yeah.
You feel like maybe you took a little bit more time off than you absolutely had to just because you were a little bit burnt out? What steps are you going to take to avoid burning out again, Liz?
I definitely feel like I took more time off than necessary. And there was a point that... Okay, so how it worked out is after I hurt myself, I did like a tear into my MCL. And it was a complete tear, so I didn't need surgery or anything. But there was a point where I went in and the doctor didn't really give me the proper care I needed. I needed physical therapy and to work through the injury. And for 2 months, I didn't have any of that. And then she just said, oh, do your own physical therapy on your own and don't worry about it. Just take time off. I went and saw another doctor like, we need to prescribe you
this.
And then I did that. And I slowly started. And so on my time off, I picked up Hapkido again a lot more actively, and I taught, I picked up teaching a self-defense class and teaching more Hapkido classes, and so I kind of went back down to my roots of martial arts, and then when I felt stronger, and I just went back to jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
So, I didn't take it off. I just went off onto another part and shied away.
Went back to your roots.
Yeah. I missed jiu-jitsu. Because we teach a little bit of groundwork, and anytime we do it, I'll be like, oh man, I miss jiu-jitsu so much. But it's really intimidating going back and going, and I go against Joy, and I feel like, she's killing me, she's so progressed. And so good, like everybody, the white belt you were tapping no time flat is now on your back, and you're just like, I thought I could take you, what's going on?
Is that motivating or a little bit disheartening for you?
Both. It's motivating because at first it's the disheartening factor where you're just like, wow, I'm out of shape, because jiu-jitsu keeps you in great shape. Like, mentally it's like, yeah, you look good, and then you like go and you feel really strong. It helps in work, total workout. So you're already out of shape a little bit, and then you go against those people, and it's disheartening to see how far. Where you could have been. You could have been with them that whole time. Mm-hmm. And then it's motivating because when you feel like you've gotten that then back, where you're like, all right, I'm progressing a little bit at a time and I'm starting to feel good again, it's motivating because you're like, I'm coming for you. I'm going to be right next to you, and then I'm going to be that other step above you again because I'm coming.
Yeah.
You caught right back up real fast. Yeah. Like, I remember when you first were coming back, your frustration was tangible sometimes. You were like,
no offense, I've always felt a certain kinship with you, because I feel like you and I are both kind of head cases. like, you know, I usually keep it together pretty well, except in competition when I just seem to absolutely falter, right? Which is a real shame.
You'll get through that, I know you will.
Yeah. But you don't keep it in the gunny sack so much. You're kind of like an engine that's kind of trying to get going. Like, we can hear you kind of sputtering sometimes, and your little frustrations. So you don't keep them in the gunny sack. You kind of let them out. You make it known.
I'm a terrible liar.
Which I think is okay. I feel like the room needs a little bit of that. Like,
you can see
you care.
Yeah, I do.
You care.
You can see it on my face constantly. I'm a terrible liar. You want to play poker with me because you'll always win. I can't keep anything.
Yeah. Joy, this is one of the areas where I think you two are really interesting in the contrast between the two of you. I feel like, you know, for just the saying, as someone that kind of knows her, I feel like Joy's hallmark is her ability to keep it together under all circumstances. You know, above all your social graces. Like, I've seen you just sort of be like unyieldingly patient with people that did not deserve that.
Yes.
And you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate that about you. Because if everybody was, you know, so mercurial, then you know we wouldn't be able to get along. So it's wonderful having you around. But you also reflect that on the mat, do you? I don't think I've ever seen you like slam the mat in frustration or, like walk away from a loss and pout. I've never seen that.
Well, let me correct you on that one. So,
oh, we had an incident.
I do keep it together in front of people because I don't want to be a sore loser. And, you know, win or lose, I always shake my opponent's hand and give them a hug and tell them good job, blah, blah. And then I get in the car. and it's a whole other story.
Fuck.
Yeah. Fuck that. Bitch, I hate her.
Oh, I'm gonna Mom, we're sorry. Mom, we're sorry.
My mother. I'm going to hear about this. Anyway. But no, it's not only like frustration at my opponent sometimes, but it's also like, and this is just basically a competition, but it's like, it just breaks my heart to lose. Like, not at the gym. Oh, don't laugh
at me.
Even
the gym.
No, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, you know.
But like, in competition, like, it's devastating. And my last really hard loss was at the San Jose Open in January, and I just felt like I could have and should have beat this girl. You know, and she was an awesome athlete, and I just could not get it together that day. And, you know, I cried all the way home. I mean, I couldn't even say goodbye to any, like, I shook her hand. I'm like, good job, good job. And I kind of, like, at my teammates as I'm walking by, I'm kind of like, you know.
Goodbye.
Like, Dustin tried to come up to me and say something. I'm just like, nope, see you later. And I just walked it, and I texted everybody, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I gotta go. And I just bawled my eyes out the entire way home. I mean, like, my face was, like, sore the next morning. I cried so hard. It just... Like, it's horrible to lose, and like, I won't show it because I feel like that's kind of, you know, pathetic and being a sore loser, but I'm okay admitting that I am pathetic and a sore loser. It's just I do it all by myself. I just do it by myself.
Well, you know, being a sore loser, it's also kind of disrespectful to your opponent too,
yeah.
Right?
Makes them feel bad, takes away from their victory.
Yeah, so I am great. I am great at winning when the stakes are low. I'm wonderful in the practice room, but I, you know, every once in a while you'll kind of, I don't know, maybe tap somebody that's been working really hard, you know, but they have no idea. You know, like, I've been working really hard for the last 3 months. Well, guess what? I've been at this for 13 fucking years. You know, and so they come into a role with you thinking they're gonna like really show you, and they're not. You know. Just mathematically, it's not going to be put together for some time, right? But you know, sure enough, you know, you'll maybe roll with somebody who's, you know, well below your skill level, but they've been really diligently applying themselves for 6 months or something, and you kind of have two options there, right? You can sort of, yeah, you got me. You're kind of like play along with them, or just show them how far behind they still are. You know, and that that can be a little bit heartbreaking for them sometimes. And yeah. Like, you'll tap them, they'll be like, God, But then I get kind of bummed out. So it's like, well, what did you expect? You know, you've been here 5 years. I've been here 13. If I hadn't shaved, like, my beard would be down to here. I'd be like a wizard of, you know, of the
Gandalf the gray or Gandalf the white?
Yeah.
Which one are you?
The gray.
The gray.
Oh, I just turned 30.
Okay.
But yeah, I do get kind of bummed out when, you know, folks who are good and diligent and applied, you know, I'm not talking about like a white belt or something, but like, you know, folks that are good and are invested in it might get tapped or bested by me in the practice room, and they'll be like, ah, you know, then you're just kind of like, well, I mean, that's what did you think of me? Like, you didn't think you were gonna, like, you're surprised that,
yeah.
You're like, what did you think was gonna happen? Yeah. You know. It's that far out of the realm of possibilities for you, so I think that's really mature of you, right? To be able to keep it together and
in competition, yeah. I try to keep it together until I get alone, you know. But yeah, in the practice room, I don't tend to get frustrated. I love rolling with really good guys like yourself and David Mitchell and Dustin, of course, and like I just want to roll with these really good guys. And then when I get you know, beaten down. I don't know. I don't take it personally. Like, it's awesome. And it's awesome to feel your technique and think to myself, like, you know, in about 5 more years, I'm going to be like Jabron. Like, I'm going to be able to grapple him.
Yeah.
And, no, I find it motivating. I don't take it personally at all, getting put in my place by an upper belt. I love it. I love it. Now, if I get, you know, caught by someone I shouldn't have gotten caught by, then it's like, oh, you know, I don't like that. But I always tell them, like, hey, that was great. Yeah. Good move. And in my head, I'm like, yeah.
I'm coming for you.
Like, what? Yeah. And watch out next time we roll. But luckily, that doesn't happen that often. But, yeah, it, no, you gotta be composed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's part of jiu-jitsu, staying, you know, you don't panic when somebody gets on top of you. You don't panic if you can't breathe. Well, I mean, you have to at some point, but you work out of bad positions. You don't just lose it. Like, and the hardest,
it's controlled.
Mm-hmm. The hardest one I find is when, we're rolling in the gi and somebody, like gets their leg or something across my face and it's just smothering me, and it's not that they're submitting me, but I could panic and I could tap, or I could just accept the fact that I'm not going to breathe for the next, you know, 5 to 10 seconds, and I'm going to get my head or get my hand and adjust something so that I can breathe again. But that is, you know, staying composed. It's important.
Your last competition was at Worlds 15 that we went to?
That's the last one.
That's the last time I competed aside from yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I just took some time. I just kind of fell out of love with it myself a little bit too. Certainly out of love with competing, and then just had some other like personal and professional issues going on that kind of kept me from, I would say, bringing my whole self to it, you know.
I have a comment about this though.
Yeah.
Your next guest, which I think is probably going to be Dustin.
Yeah.
He's a good one to talk about that competition mindset with.
You know? Oh, very much so.
He had all sorts of words of wisdom for me yesterday when I'm, you know, freaking out and telling him how nervous I am. And, you know, he just sat there and talked to me for like 2 hours probably, like once I got to the gym around noon. And just talked to me like this is the way you need to think about it. And this is like, you know, this is how you deal with this and that. And it was so comforting. It calmed me down so much. And it really, like, thank you, coach. Like, it made all the difference, like, getting my head in the right place for yesterday. And I think a big topic of your podcast with him, you know.
Yeah.
Ask him all
about
that. He has a lot of things to say.
I haven't really, like, sat down to talk with him about that stuff. So
you got to.
Oh, you really should.
He's got some good stuff.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. If he has the time for me. I'd love to talk to him about it a little bit more. Going back to your loss, which I was right there for, when we have time next time we're in the room, I'd like to show you a counter, because you got arm dragged to your back, taken to a rear naked choke. Is that right?
So I want to explain. So the first match I went against, I won, but the girl who I went against, that's where I hurt my knee. I hurt my knee absolutely. I hurt my knee in the first match. So the girl, I went against that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And by then I was like, this is a bad position. And my knee is really hurting. And
okay.
I was injured by then.
Okay.
So, and even one of her coaches was telling her, like, me, cause like I got off the mat and I was kind of like, hobbling it.
Yeah,
I heard
that.
One of their coaches say, like, go for her knee. Like, go for her knee. Her knee hurts. And that moment, you know, it feels really, it kind of like hurts me on the inside as this, but I know now, looking back, I know I could have continued on. I know I could have defended. I know I could have, but after hurting, like feeling the pain in my knee, I gave up. Like, I will not let that happen again. I will not, but it definitely was affecting me then.
Yeah, and I think it takes some time to sort of, like, for your hardiness to mature too, right?
Yeah.
Like the first time that you're kind of really hurt and you're like, oh, maybe I want out of this. And then you look back and you reflect and you say, wait, I could have kept going. And so it takes some, you know, I think it takes some time for that real hard-nosedness to sort of mature, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be something if you could do it the first time. But I think it just makes sense that you sort of like get pushed a little bit beyond where you're comfortable. You know, if you can persevere, wonderful. If you can't, ideally you reflect on it and realize that you can go a little bit further, and sort of that sort of, you know, pushes you further and further along. There's a fun little counter to that arm drag off the butterfly position. Next time we get in the room, I'd like to show you. You can just kind of hop over the legs and they can like arm drag themselves to side mount, which I'd like to show you. I've been thinking about pulling you aside and being like, hey, let me show you this counter for like 2 years now, however long ago that was.
Well, I would love for you to show me that. I've been working on doing more arm drags myself. So like when somebody drags, I like dangle my arm for somebody to arm drag, so I can arm drag them with their arm drag. Yeah.
That's right. And if you do that on someone, people will kind of mind explosion.
Yeah.
It's like the first time you do that something, you arm drag, you like re-drag. That's the sort of thing people will think you're like really good at jiu-jitsu if you do that.
But I'm working on that, so I think that'd play very well with that.
That would play very well. It's kind of the same concept, too. How are you two similar and different grappling-wise?
Well, I feel like Liz has a really, really technical guard. Like, okay. You're so tricky with it, and so many submissions come from your guard. And I feel like I have a good guard, but I don't really submit from my guard a lot. I'm definitely more of a top player.
You're very much a top player. It's fantastic. She's all on top.
It's just good because I can test my top game against your guard game, and we both develop off each other that way. And then sometimes we're like, okay, I'm going to play guard today, and Liz is going to play top, and we're going to do it Liz's way.
Yeah, and then once we give up, like, once we go back to our normal positions, we, like, reset, go back to top, and you go back on bottom, so that we can really develop our games better.
Yeah, but I feel like that's the biggest difference. I'm top player.
Yeah, I kind of been wishing you two could be a little bit more like each other. In that way, where you like, you know, Joey, if you could round out your guard a little bit more, and
we need to do more of that positional. We need to do more where I work on my guard and she does her top, and we need.
Liz, you are, I think, kind of reluctant to play top.
Yeah.
Even when you do, it's kind of like top, but your hips are back and you're like ready to pull guard at any moment, and so it's like.
Yeah.
I find you kind of like hesitant to like. Meaningfully attack kind of from that position where you're just ready to pull guard again.
I would definitely agree. Yeah. I just want to go back to guard. I'm like, yes, let's go back.
Whereas like Liz brings like a, not Joy brings like a hurricane.
Oh yeah.
Joy brings like a tornado.
Oh, thank you.
She is her own force of nature. She's on top.
Well, thank you.
I thought that was interesting how you two could be so similar but so different, you know, in your temperament, in your stylistically. I have a couple of grapple twins. Probably my main grapple twin, Ryan Johnson. If you're out there, we are overdue. We are overdue, and I'm coming for you. Ryan's a good dude. So I met Ryan over at Ciapolista under Andre Glodzinski. And we were there for about 6 months before switching over to Ultimate Fitness. And you know, just a quick shout out to Andre. He was really patient with me. Andre Glodzinski, he was really patient with me. I came in as a wrestler thinking I could just kind of wrestle my way through his color belt, and I couldn't, and I could see someone who's as he was given so much to the art, like Andre has, to maybe be a little bit annoyed at like this like young wrestler coming in, just kind of trying to wrestle jitsu, you know what I mean, through some of his more. And then I was kind of having, you know, some success, you know, but it's but I was failing to fully embrace the technique and the spirit of jiu-jitsu, you know. You know, Andre, thank you for sort of you know, your patience and trying to guide me into accepting into realizing what I was missing out on, by, you know, sort of gently pushing me to, you know, to play more on my back, to embrace the spirit of jiu-jitsu, to not just get up and double leg somebody, because that's not going to make me a better grappler. You know, I I thought Ultimate Fitness was just a little bit of a better fit for me under Dustin's style. But yeah, Andre, thank you. He was, you know, he's really like how I got started through martial arts.
When did you get started?
2010.
2010 in
jiu-jitsu. In jiu-jitsu, yeah. And then I wrestled for like 6 to 8 years before that. Yeah. So I've been grappling for a little while. And so Ryan Johnson was in the same classes as me. He was like a, you know, 3 or 4 stripe blue belt. He'd been doing it for 4 or 5 years before I started. And he was just kind of having his way with me. I kind of feared going with him. And I feel like I was able to sort of close that gap over time because I was able to train a little bit more than he was. He was going back to school. And I was maybe a little bit more able to quickly apply some of the techniques because I had some notion of body mechanics through wrestling. You know, fast forward 7 years now, we're both brown belts. We're both about 30 years old. We're both about 195 pounds. And he is in Las Vegas for, he's in this program where the Army pays for your medical schooling.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And he's finding a way to train through it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where in Vegas is he training at?
I think it's, and Ryan, tell me if I'm wrong, I think it's...
Couture.
What? It's either Couture's gym or with Vinny Magalash. One of those guys. But, you know, he's well into his brown belt. He's probably getting close to his black belt. The last 3 times that we've rolled, they've all been like a year apart, and it's always been some ridiculous mismatch where, like, the first time, like, I had my way with him, and then the second time he like had his way with me and it wasn't competitive. And then the last time we rolled, which was in late 2015, Ryan, I think I remember smashing you. And it wasn't competitive. So Ryan's probably been training a little bit harder than I have this last year. And he swears he's gonna get me.
Oh,
so
gonna get ragdolled.
Yeah, but it's never close with Ryan and I. that's the one thing I can promise you is when we go again, it's not gonna be close. So Ryan's been challenged. The stipulation of the match, gi or no gi, rules or no rules. Whatever happens, it goes on YouTube. And I'd love to have him on. He's a really good dude, and he's funny too. He's actually out in he just got back from Thailand. He went out there. He just went all up and down the islands, and I think he did some training out there. But yeah, his intellect matches the goodness in his heart. He's a good dude. He's my grapple twin. Also, Mike Coffey is another one. He's not so much my twin, though. He's a little bit taller, you know, when we have, like...
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's really something when you find, like, your straight grapple twin.
Speaking of, like, our differences, but to highlight, like, our differences, but then our similarities, Liz and I feel like, have the same just intensity. Like, we both...
You're both pretty intense.
You're
both pretty intense.
But we're chill, like, we're nice people, but we love jiu-jitsu, and we are passionate about it, and we want to win.
Yeah.
And that's what makes our roles so good, even with each other. I mean, obviously, taking care of each other is more important than winning against
each
other. But it's...
Finger in the eye.
Yeah, exactly. She'll do some things with her foot sometimes. We'll talk about that later. But
I'm sorry.
We'll talk about that later. But anyway, but we have that same, like, we're gonna get it right now. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna pass her guard, I'm gonna submit her, and Liz is like, I'm gonna sweep her, I'm gonna submit her. Like,
yeah.
We're really intense when we roll, and we have just awesome matches, and I feel like it prepares us for tournaments so well.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just really, yeah, really gets us ready.
What did you all think of each other when you first met?
Oh, okay. Liz, you go first.
Oh, no, Joy, you should explain your first experiences at the gym.
Okay, so I found the gym randomly. It was, I had just gotten back from college. I was kind of lonely. It's like this tiny little town I live in. I just wanted, like, something social. So I found this place, no idea what jiu-jitsu was, wander in. And Liz is there that day, thank goodness, because otherwise it was just like a sea of boys.
Yeah.
But I wander in. I don't have, of course, a gi or anything. I didn't know what I was walking into. I thought maybe it was like a judo class or something. I didn't really know what the UFC was or MMA. Or I'd never heard of jiu-jitsu. I just didn't know what I was doing. But I wander in. And I'd seen Dustin's picture on the website, and so I recognized him. And I walked right up, and I'm like, "Hi, I'm Joy. Are you the instructor?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Can I jump in your class?" And he's like, "Of course." And he's like, "Do you have a gi?" And I'm like, "A what?" and luckily, he just happened to have an old smelly gi of his in the back, and he pulled it out, and he's like, "I'm sorry, this might not smell too nice." So I'm like, "I don't care, you know, like, thank you." Like, so I put on his gi, and it was great that he had it, and I'm so glad I could jump in that day, because if he'd turned me away, I don't think I would have come back. I think I would have felt like uncomfortable, like, oh, I showed up and I wasn't wanted, and I don't think I would have come back. So thank you, Dustin, for lending me your nasty gi. Best thing that ever happened to me. So we start going, and then after class, Liz walks right up to me and she's like, "How did you like it? Are you gonna come back?" And I was like,
"Yeah, I'm not this bitch."
Yeah, like someone I need to beat down. But I just thought that was really nice that she was so friendly, and I was like, "Oh, somebody wants me here." So
a good arrival and a friend.
Yeah. What did Joy know? I was trying to get intel because I was under the impression that Joy had come, and she was like, she like came on and she's so friendly and she was like kind of oblivious of like what to do, and I was like, okay. I didn't immediately think that she could just be a new person. I was like, oh, I wonder if it's somebody's girlfriend. I feel really bad saying that. And I was like, and then Dustin gave her gi and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's like Dustin's girl or something. So Joy comes on and I'm like, I rolled with her and I went through some stuff with her, and after class, like, that's another reason why I was like, intel, must know more. Who is this? Who is this? And of course, I wanted her to come back. I was like one of the only females there, so I always want more females. And I don't think that all the time. I don't think that women must come with a boyfriend or anything. Right. I came in the gym with nobody. I just walked straight in, so. Of course, other people can do the same, but
it was probably just something
so embarrassing.
But it's probably just the fact I'm wearing his gi and the interaction. Maybe you were like, "Oh, is that like,
yeah?
Is that a girlfriend? Or is that a random person?"
Because Joy is so friendly, like she's super outgoing and nice.
A little to a fault sometimes.
And now she's this straight up killer.
Thank you. But so to finish the story though. So I signed up that day because Ultimate Fitness was having like this 3-day deal and you could sign up for a discounted rate if you did it within the next 3 days. And I'm like, yeah, I love this. This is really fun. This is exciting. I met this cool girl that wants to be my friend maybe. So I like just sign up, and then I, you know, of course I paid the money, so like I'm gonna go. And but I, you know, I'm a little bit shy. Like I'm friendly, but I am a little shy until I get to know people. And then you're like, why, Joy? Why? Like I won't shut up there. But I just I would see Liz and we'd always roll. We were always kind of friendly, but I was just a little shy to kind of be like, come hang out with me after class. You know, I was shy. You were actually the first person that I ever hung out with outside of class. You were the one that was like, let's go get coffee. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah. I realized that I'd been like showing up to the gym at that point for like 4 years and like, had never like really hung out with anybody or like wasn't really, you know, and I thought to myself, because I had a friend who was I think at Pipeworks at the time, and she was explaining to me like, yeah, we kind of all hang out, it's like a social thing as well. And so I wanted to like create something like that with the folks at the gym as well, because
I'm so glad you did, because you know
I kind of got the ball rolling with
we started kind of hanging out a little bit and we text a little bit and we of course meet up for training and all that, and then like I don't know, like 6 months later, something ridiculously long amount of time passed, but my boyfriend, he came down to see what on earth
this, what exactly you were doing with those men in that place.
Yeah, exactly. what is this thing you always talk about, and like I don't understand. So he comes down to watch me, and then he sees Liz and my interaction after class, and we're kind of talking and chatting, and he's like in the car I think or something, he was like, Joy, like She, like, wants to be your friend. Like, definitely. She definitely likes you. Like, why don't you hang out with her? Like, invite her over. Like, do something with her. And I'm like, it's cute. And he's like, no, just, like, be friends with her. So then next... yeah, I know. So then next...
That's scary.
Seriously, though. I'm like, well, shit. Like, nobody wants to be rejected. Like, it's almost like asking someone on a date. Like, will you be my friend? Like, I don't know. It's like, it is a little scary.
It is like dating, isn't it? Kind of like, yeah. Like budding friendships.
Yeah. Totally.
It's even more like, it's almost more fraught, too, because if you're, there's a lot of commingling of, like, social groups and lifestyles that comes with, like, full-fledged friendship, and, like, you know, if we're in a romantic relationship, we can say, you know, we're moving on, but it's even harder to do with a friend.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't think you're going in the same place. Like, there's no good way to good way to break up with a friend, but sometimes you kind of have to just stop it. So
you do.
The only good way to do it is to ghost them. Yeah. You know, which is so which is I think is so heartbreaking, because then they don't really get to fully they don't get to, like, really just be confronted with the lesson that they ought to learn, or you can articulate, and you don't get the opportunity to articulate what it is that you're looking for in a friend, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely hard to. Also, as we get, like, further into adulthood, you know, I realize, you know, I was thinking about this probably the other night. My mom and dad had me at, like, 23, 24.
So early.
Yeah, you know.
But
so,
the generations are changing.
Our culture. Exactly, the generations are changing. So, like, we have this, like, period of extended adolescence. That's kind of going into, like, mid-30s sometime, you know, where you see them out at the bar, they're 33, they're not a care in the world, and definitely no idea of starting a family, you know?
Yeah.
So you got, like, people in their, you know, mid to late 20s through their mid-30s, like, in these, like, fun-loving social groups, but there's no real rules of the road for that. There's no real, like, rule book on that, because in prior generations, you're kind of expected to be settled down and to be nesting by then, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that it's tough. It's wonderful when you can make new friends. But it's also hard. Like, you know, like, Amir and I have kind of had it out as friends. Like, we're, you know, I count him. He's like
Trust
a brother
me,
to me.
I've been there sometimes when you guys are having
Like, he's like, I love him. Yeah. Love him to death. He's like
you
a brother.
You over here. You over here.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jabron, be nice.
Yeah. So, to be fair, you know, and just to be completely honest, it's probably been my fault more than most. But, you know, That's actually been a wonderful relationship that I've kind of, like, has been now blossomed into, like, full-blown, like, real lasting and enduring friendship, I think, precisely because we have been able to have those talks, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's easier when you're an adult and you have so much else going on. You're like, you know what, maybe not for me. See ya.
Yeah.
But then you kind of sometimes miss out on other people.
You have to work out. Just have to work out your differences or whatever the problem is, for sure. But the other thing about, like, initiating a friendship is if you get rejected, it's like you're getting rejected as a human being. Like, you obviously are not...
Not, like, sexually...
Yeah,
it's not, like... Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if a guy's just like, oh, you're not my type, you know, or whatever. But it's a different thing when, like, you like somebody as a person, and you're like, oh, like, come over to my place sometime, and they're just like, no, I don't... I mean, other people normally do it that way, but you know, it's...
Do you want to play video games?
But it's like a much harder rejection.
Are Super Smash Bros?
But Tim was like, no, like, Liz wants to be your friend. Like, get her number and go hang out. I'm like, okay. So the next time I was at the gym, like, then I was like, we gotta hang out sometime. And she's like, yeah, of course. And then we traded numbers. And then I went over to her place one time and kind of, like, she kind of told me about her Warhammer stuff, and I'm like, do I want to be friends with this girl? I don't know. I'm kidding. But, like, we had a nice hangout, and then she ended up coming up to my ranch and, you know, seeing where I was from. And so Liz was, I would say you're, like, my first friend at the gym, Jabron, because you're the first one I, like, traded numbers with, hung out with. But then Liz was, like, probably the second. And, like, you know.
Same way. You were probably the first person to hang out with me and be my friend.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, like, I was really friends with Joy. Joy's, like, my second friend in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I was trying to, I think at the time, and I hope I never stopped trying to branch out, but Around that time, I was sort of experiencing like the great bro exodus of 2014.
Explain, please.
Yeah, what is a bro exodus?
It's like all your bros leave. Like, so they're like Ryan Johnson had been accepted into medical school, and so he moved away, and he was like my one of my best buds, you know. And then Danny Torres just picked up his stuff and moved to DC because we were both legislative staffers, and he wanted to do it on a bigger platform. And he had the clarity of vision and the courage of conviction to just pick his stuff up and move to DC without a job offer on the table.
Wow.
And Danny Torres, if you're out there, you know, he's persevered. He's working for the United States House Committee on Natural Resources on the minority side now. But, you know, he left too. And then, Marcellus Brookshaw, who's, one of my good friends too, he went down to, I think it was USC for his master's. You know, he moved away that year too. And so, within the space of 6 months, just all the bros left. Mm-hmm. And that's when I hit up Amir. Which I'm glad I did, because he's the best dude. But, and let that be another lesson, that things fall apart so that more beautiful things can come together.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, yeah, so right around that time, I was also realizing, man, my life is just, go to work, get home as soon as possible, try and have a snack, jitsu, and then wake up, rinse, repeat the next day, and I wasn't actually really doing any socializing, and so...
Uh-oh, that's my life.
Yeah. Can we talk about that a little bit? Right now, one of the... I'm not going to say, a struggle, but, I just love spending time with Haley so much. She's just so wonderful, but I feel like if I do jujitsu that night, now this kind of comes from having different sleep schedules, she likes to be in bed by 10. Mm-hmm. If I do jujitsu, I'm not home and showered and my core body temperature, I don't stop sweating till 9 p.m., which means I get 30 minutes with her, which is shit. I want more than 30 minutes with, there's a real impact on the relationship if I'm really trying to train. And God forbid I try to do some work after class, then it's I might not be home till 9 and showered and relaxed till 10.
We can relate on that struggle.
Yeah.
Also having a boyfriend that doesn't train, your girlfriend doesn't train, I think it's hard to date someone that's as into jiu-jitsu as we are. Or maybe it's the same with everything. I don't know. Although I feel like if you're into a sport like we are, it's got to be hell being with a professional athlete. Someone who it's their life, their work, their passion, everything. I don't know how any professional athlete can, have a marriage or make it work with anybody. But even us, we're just passionate about what we do. We just love it. You're a little bit different situation with Dom because Dom also trains.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dom.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that with her.
But our significant others don't train, and it's really tough for them to understand. Tim says to me one time, he's like, I feel like, it's jiu-jitsu first, then it's your friends, and then it's me, And it's that's not quite it, but I guess that's not quite not it. I love jiu-jitsu.
Tough crowd.
Hopefully, I'm going to tell him not to watch this.
It's live.
Oh, no.
I can see he's watching.
Damn it.
Tim, if you're out there.
Tim, if you're out there, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I swear. But, it's a hard thing to explain, and I don't want to choose between jiu-jitsu and my significant other. I don't want to choose. I want to have them both. Yeah, it takes away time from your relationship, and in my case, I drive.
So multiply whatever time is taken away from me, multiply that by 2.
Yeah, just 2 more hours onto it, and any night I train, I don't hang out with Tim. I don't see him. I get off work, a shower, leave for the gym. By the time I come back, he's or I'm ready to go to bed anyway, and that's it. We don't hang out that night.
So
half the nights, if I train 3 nights a week, that means Tim and I hang out for 4 nights a week, not three of them. So, he's really good to put up with me, and I'm trying to convince him come down to Sacramento with me and you can play basketball.
I'd love to see him fight for money.
Tim?
Yeah. He's so big. I'd love to see him fight someone for stakes.
If he had any interest whatsoever in the martial arts, I know he'd be good at it. He's such an athlete. He's 6'5".
Oh, my God. I was rolling with him one time, and I was like, are you sure you've never trained, man? Like,
yeah,
he's talented.
He's really talented. And I've showed him, like, just enough to be dangerous. Like, I show him a couple submissions, and he just picks up on it, like, so quick. He's very naturally talented and just has a knack for it. No, he'd be devastating. Like, he'd be really good in the gym if he trained, if he wanted to. But he has no desire. Aww. And but he likes basketball, and it's like, well, just ride down with me in the car. You play basketball, so I'll train, and then we can ride back, and then we have like 4 hours in the car that we can have quality time and chat and talk.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do that, but it's...
Yeah, he does come down. He was down last night.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was down last night. But it's just not... it's not very regular that he'll come down with me, but it's rough on the relationship. It is, like... And he's said to me before, recently, he's kind of like, I don't know if I can put up with this for another 7 years, 8 years, or however long it's going to be until I'm finally, like, not competing anymore. Because it's also different when you're doing jiu-jitsu as a hobby versus you're competitive and you're active. And I'm trying to grow, and I'm trying to get better, and so I want to train more, and... spend more time in the gym. And Tim's like, can you just train like once a week? Like, isn't that enough? And I'm like, well, no.
Not for growth, no.
No, not for growth. It's not.
Growth comes at like minimum 4.
Yeah. Like, you have to spend time, and I spend a lot of time, and, you know, I feel bad because it's like, I'm not trying to like not be around him, but of course I struggle. And I'm sure, you know, you're going through something similar with Haley, although it's not as bad.
No, it's not as bad. And she's it's more my own feeling guilty because I want to spend time with her. She's her defining characteristic is probably her patience with me. Mm-hmm. Honestly, she's so good to me. I'm like pinching my. She's a fucking stem cell scientist. She's got her master's degree. I really don't know what she's doing with it.
We all are in favor of Haley.
Yeah,
we love Haley.
She's awesome.
She's
amazing.
We all approve. Like, big stamp of approval.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like her, there's something wrong with you.
Now you, on the other hand, not
yeah. But you know, there was one day where I did jits. It was a Monday. Then we took that hour break. We went to go get Jamba Juice. Yeah, and then we came back after the hour break. And we did some wrestling, and then I hung out with Gabe a little bit afterwards. And she was like, "Do you realize you were there for 4 fucking hours?"
Like, nope.
I was like, no. I just, well, you know, there's a break, and I went to get Jamba Juice. And she's like, well, and I didn't get to see her that night, and that stuff. So she's actually she got a membership now too. She's believe it or not, really talented at Muay Thai.
Awesome.
She's not so good of a boxer. I think she has some trouble with like the footwork's a little bit more dynamic, and boxing is a little bit more athletic. Muay Thai is a lot more kind of planted stationary. It's a lot easier to learn, in my opinion. But you know, we went to Bali in October of last year, and she did we stayed at the MMA camps and dorms. It was totally Spartan.
Awesome.
And
that's super cool.
It was super cool. Yeah. I had a little smoker fight. I had a little amateur boxing fight over there.
Cool.
That was actually my last time winning at anything. But she picked up Muay Thai really well, so hopefully I'll be able to round my training out a little bit more by doing some Muay Thai with her, because she's really talented. I was showing her how to kick the other day, and she like just whacks at my quad, and she's like that? Like that? I was like, yeah, yeah, just like that.
That's awesome.
And so how are you fitting training in with planning a wedding and everything that's going on?
I try to spend as much time with Dom as I can, so... We were in a long distance relationship for 2 years. He's from Croatia, so we do a lot of talking on Messenger, and so we're pretty good about communicating over Messenger. And now that he's here in person, we talk about whenever we can. And since he does train, I'll go to work, I'll come home or go pick him up at the game store because he's a painter.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, his story and I, like, we met gaming. So I went over there for Warhammer in Croatia, and they invited me to play on their team, and that's how we met. So we have Warhammer and we have Jiu-Jitsu in common. So
cool.
So that's why I pick him up at the game store, because he paints. And so we'll go there, I'll pick him up, and we'll have our bags ready. And in the meantime of our little commute, whatever, we'll talk about what we need to do. We already haven't been talking about it in Messenger while I'm working.
Working.
Working. You know, you answer things when you can. And we'll get home, we'll eat food after jiu-jitsu, talk about the wedding, and repeat.
Yeah.
It's very much the wake up, do all of that, and on the weekends or after practice, we'll hang out with people if we can.
Cool.
So it's just very busy. I'm a nonstop type of person. I'm on this train track, and I just go. And he's picked up right alongside me, so I'm very thankful.
That's very special. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Just quickly, we're getting close to, I think, an hour and a half here, so we should start wrapping this up real quick. A couple shout-outs for me on my part. Darren Elkins, last night with an absolutely remarkable victory from Team Alpha Male, the gym that we all share. 5 wins in a row for Darren. I mean, just what a stud. What a beast, right? I'd love to have you on the show if you ever want to come on. You know, he's a guy that's really... that's really used his grappling very effectively in the UFC, and also just a great dude, you know. Yeah. Dustin, I think you and I are gonna have to talk about competition mindset a little bit. Ryan Johnson, you've been called out. Whatever happens goes on YouTube, the rematch. And yeah, any.
Let's talk just a little bit about Jose Quimeno. So the point of it is just that Liz and I are grapple twins, and we've had a very similar martial arts journey. She started 6 months before I did, so we've just been right there the whole time.
Yeah.
And we've both had our fair share of injuries and different ups and downs. We both love to compete. So Hose and Kimonos is on. You can follow us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we just put up technique videos, mm-hmm. which is fun to make technique videos because it helps you really master the technique, because not only do you want to do it correctly for your audience, but you want to make it flow and make it pretty, and so we'll just drill the heck out of all these techniques, make these videos, put them online, and hopefully we're kind of looking like if we could get like some sponsorships from different places, like for example, we wear Phenom kimonos all the time, and so we're kind of eventually want to talk to Phenom, see if they'll send us some free kimonos maybe.
Yeah, we'll tag Phenom in the
Phenom,
you've been called out for a sponsorship.
But yeah. we're just having fun with it. So Hose and Kimonos, follow us on Instagram, and hopefully more big things to come. More competitions.
Definitely.
Liz, I don't know if this ever came up during the podcast, but she did win the Nogi World Championships as a purple belt. She won gold. And it was that same, she went to the absolute division immediately after, and that's when she injured her knee. And I won gold as a white belt in the Gi novice, and then blue belt no gi, second at Worlds. So we both we're serious competitors, and hopefully
absolutely.
We will just keep growing, doing better at competition, be posting those things on Hose and Kimonos.
Yeah.
Great. Where can people find you online, on Instagram?
It's Hose letter N Kimonos. Hose and
Got
Kimonos.
Got it. Same for you. Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Our Instagram.
Great. Anything else folks should know?
No, that's about it. Follow
us. All right. That's the second episode. Thank you everybody for tuning in.
Hopefully we'll have to have.